Mini episode 713 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome, everyone, to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris. We have one of our favorite recurring conversational guests back with us today, somebody we love to talk a lot of different topics with, and we have over a long period of time. Today we have him here to talk WrestleMania 32 week. I speak, of course, of, as I say, good friend of the show, Evan Roberts from WFAN in New York, the Big 660 in NYC. You can follow him on Twitter, at Joe and Evan. He is part of course, the Midday Show along with Joe Vanino. Midday's 10 to 1 Eastern Time, and because of these worldwide, these global times in which we live, WFAN.com. Listen to it anywhere or the radio.com app. Pleasure, as always, to bring him back in. So much to talk about these days. We got him back on the lines here. Evan Roberts from WFAN in New York. Evan, welcome back to the show, my man. Looking forward to having this conversation with you today.
Oh, you kidding me? This is what I look forward to every year. It's our annual discussion of all things wrestling, college basketball, and God knows what else comes up.
As far as the wrestling goes, which, again, you had foreshadowed there, you know, it's one of these interesting things. As we look ahead to WrestleMania week, the expectations a couple months ago, and again, before the massive injury wave hit, looking at it like 100,000 people, Jerry World, biggest show of all time, versus I'm wondering if they're, strangely enough, going to benefit from expectations right now, because I think when you're looking at shows of this time period, people are going, I hope it's somewhere near as good as NXT TakeOver Dallas, Smarkamania, Monday Night Raw post-WrestleMania, and Aztec Warfare, which, by the way, you talk about getting cable channels. I just got El Rey recently, and I am loving Lucha Underground. I think it's going to have a hard time living up to Aztec Warfare, much less the other ones. Do you get the sense that we've gone so far, collectively, the IWC, on burying all of this, that they have a chance to beat the very low bar of expectations, which is weird to say for a show with 100,000 people?
You know, that's a good way to look at it, because I was just going to tell you WrestleMania is going to suck and that everything's been bad about it. The build has been bad. The matches are going to be bad. The results are going to leave us with a lot to be desired. But I must hand it to you, because that is a good point, that because I have that attitude, and maybe you have that attitude, and basically anybody else has that attitude, maybe we're going to walk away and say, boy, that Roman Reigns Triple H match was a lot better than we thought. I guess that's possible, but here's the thing. It may beat expectations. It's still WrestleMania. It's the biggest event of the year. They got 100,000 people, like you said. It's supposed to set the tone for the following year. And the fact that I happen to think the last couple of them have been really, really, really good. Maybe not 29, because it was the most obvious, and it wasn't a good match. You know, let's face it, Rock Cena wasn't that good the second time around. But the last two have been really good. You know, the last two WrestleManias have been very, very good. I don't know where they stand all the time. I thought 30 could be towards the top, but even last year was really, really good. So, yeah, it may beat expectations, but this is going to, like, go down like WrestleMania 25 or, I'm trying to think of some other crap, WrestleMania 13. Now, that's pretty insulting to say it's going to be like WrestleMania 13, but it isn't great because there's really – I'm trying to think like what I'm most looking forward to. And the fact that I'm probably going to say I'm most looking forward to seeing how they end this dopey Undertaker Shane McMahon match, that probably tells you that it ain't that good if that's what I'm looking most forward to.
Well, you say WrestleMania 13 derisively. I say they should be so fortunate as to have a Bret Hart, Steve Austin five-star match on there, because I don't see one.
You're right. But the rest of it stunk. And let's be honest. We always should remember how the show ended, right? Because you're right. That was one of the greatest double turns of all time. It's a classic match. You're right. But to me, when I think of 13, maybe I'm wrong here, I think of the fact that The Undertaker fought Sid in the last match of the night. So you're right. That was a classic. But it's always that main event, I think, that leaves you that last. It's like 25. Isn't 25 the same thing? You think of, well, Triple H, Randy Orton. Boy, that stunk. The crowd didn't care. So I think sometimes, and maybe I shouldn't think this way. Maybe you don't, maybe others don't. But I always think of the way it ends, and that's why I put 13 towards the bottom.
No, I understand that, because it was probably the worst single main event in WrestleMania history. I tend to look at 9 as having sort of the two of them together. Obviously, Hogan Yokozuna is the worst, but even if you average that with Hogan Yokozuna and Yokozuna Bret Hart, you probably still come in below Undertaker Sid, as bad as that was. But still, you're right about that. And it's just one of these interesting things. Last year, they flirt with the idea a little bit. They end up adding to WrestleMania weekend the NXT house show in San Jose this year. I would be remiss if I didn't put over my good friend and fellow Cleveland boy, Ryan Ward, who, as the sheets have been reporting recently, moving on up to SmackDown. So writing this build to NXT TakeOver Dallas has been his swan song there, and talk about going out on a high note. But the possibility of, at least on a critical level, or I would say the certainty on a critical level, of being overshadowed by your own quote-unquote developmental show, for people who watch both of them, there seems very little to no chance anybody is going to like WrestleMania 32 with 100,000 people at Jerry World better. I mean, is that more of a phrase of NXT to say that, or, as I would tend to think, more of an indictment of the main product?
Oh, it's both. It's a combination of both, but I also think it's partially that the crowd, like, let's say Roman Reigns, Triple H is a great match. Let's just say it's really, really well done, because I thought last year Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar was a really, really good match that didn't have high expectations. And I think this match has lower expectations, but that match didn't have high expectations either. And yeah, Seth Rollins got involved and gave you the surprise ending. But the match between Reigns and Lesnar was actually pretty good. Let's just say
yes.
Triple H and Reigns have a really good match, and Reigns wins. Obviously, he's going to win, right? I still think that the people can't stand both guys so much that they'd have a tough time admitting it was a good match and still say, but NXT was a million times better. So I think there's no way we walk out of WrestleMania weekend saying, or the majority of people saying, WrestleMania was better, because I think the biggest problem this WrestleMania has is people don't like the guys in the main event. That's a huge problem. Like, that's a really, really, really big problem to have two guys that nobody wants to root for. You didn't have that last year. As much as people didn't like Roman Reigns, people love Brock Lesnar. So if Lesnar won, the crowd was going to go home happy. And obviously they did what they did with Seth Rollins. So I think that NXT will 100%, even if it's not necessarily better, will be perceived as better because people don't like the guys in the main event. So unless they're pulling something out of their derriere that makes no sense and we don't see coming, people are going to be disappointed with the way WrestleMania 32 ends. I can't see how they won't be.
I would agree with that. And again, as I mentioned before, in fairness, they're hit with an injury bug right now that is pretty virulent, that is pretty bad. But one of the things I like to do when I'm examining a card, it's just to kind of diagram it. Every card is going to have, of course, a main event. You always want to have at least two or three pretty strong semi-mains. It's very clear they're drawing a bar under the top three matches here. You take the top three, and then everything else is getting much less play. Of the six participants, Triple H and Shane, so two members of the McMahon household here, Taker and Lesnar, two more part-timers, and then the two S.H.I.E.L.D. guys, who are the fair-haired boys of the promotion, Reigns much more than Ambrose, but still Ambrose. And then nobody else active day-to-day on this roster that is part of the future, that is part of what I think is a great crop of talent that they have on the roster, as a lot of people think. I mean, I guess the question answers itself, but I'd like to hear you address it. What does that say when you're looking at four of the six participants here and the fact that even the two full-timers are former S.H.I.E.L.D. members?
Well, it says a lot about the writing more than the potential of a lot of the guys, because Kevin Owens has been an unbelievable heel for a year. He burst onto the scene, and if they used him the right way, if they wanted to way back at Survivor Series, Kevin Owens could be main eventing WrestleMania. There's no doubt in my mind. AJ Styles has only been here for 5 minutes, but with the amount of excitement he generated upon coming into this company, if they pushed him the right way in the last couple of months, AJ Styles could be closer to the main event than he is right now. So I don't think it's like an indictment of the roster. It's an indictment of the way they've used these guys. Like, to me, It's terrible. Like, the Triple H Roman Reigns build, you know, sometimes it's good to have a long build, right? Sometimes it's awesome. Like, Batista Triple H, that was great. They built that for a long time.
Right.
If you believe that the Daniel Bryan thing was what they intended, which none of us really do, but let's say they did do that, well, that was great. They built it from SummerSlam. They started this Roman Reigns Triple H thing from Survivor Series, except nobody wants to see it. Nobody cares. So they gave it a slow build, but nobody cares. And I think that's a problem. So they did this on their own by pushing Triple H as a main eventer, the guy who won some circus show match last year against Sting, and it was a circus. They pushed that guy right to the top when he doesn't need to be at the top, and they have guys who have the potential to get there, but they didn't write anything creatively for them. I mean, Kevin Owens should be, let's be honest, Kevin Owens should be in the main event of WrestleMania. Or at least, if he's not in the main event of WrestleMania, he should be in one of those top three matches that you talked about. He should not be defending the title in some, you know, stupid, you know, 18-person ladder match, right? Which is an 18-person ladder match. I know it's not 18 people, but when you have a million people in a ladder match, what does that tell you? It tells you we don't really have any creativity in writing anything. So we're going to throw a bunch of guys, some of them pretty good, some of them terrible, and they shouldn't even be on the card, and we're going to throw them into a match. I can't believe for the life of me they took one of their most over heels who could be in the main event and stuck him in one of those kind of matches. So what does it all say? It says the writing has sucked for a year. That's what it says.
Absolutely. I would agree with you that KO should be in the main event of KO Mania. I certainly would agree with that. But you talk about using guys better, how they bring them in, what they do with them. AJ Styles, perfect example right there, and you touched on it briefly, how they brought him in, what they've done with him. I remember back in early January, and two of my show contributors, Kyle Ross and Jake Digman, they may deny it, but I think I have the texts to prove it. I'm getting this flurry of optimism from them. Balor Club Invasion or Bullet Club Invasion or whatever. There were people that were actually thinking this is the direction they're going to go in to save WrestleMania, that they're going to go unconventional. They've brought these guys in at this time for a purpose. I actually didn't believe it initially, and then I kind of got swept up in it too. And then when AJ Styles debuted as the phenomenal AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble, and you could already see from the writing with NXT TakeOver Dallas that those guys were going to be stuck down there for a period of time, Finn Balor especially for the period of time. But what does that say about them right now that, again, you've got these guys, you could go in a fresh direction, you could do a big invasion angle for WrestleMania with fresh guys, and on the other hand, it's if I haven't, this has got to be the greatest example ever of sticking to the stale formula. I mean, Undertaker Shane McMahon, a guy that hasn't been around in 7 years. I mean, these are the directions you go in as opposed to something fresh. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, my God. Well, it's just an example of, like you said, sticking with what they think works, and it really doesn't work. And they always have a tough time. Like, when a guy like Kevin Owens breaks through, and he did, even though they're not pushing him properly, it's always like an upset, you know? The idea that they were ever going to take guys who became popular elsewhere and really push them to the top, for the most part, they don't do that. It's like an upset when they do something like that. For the most part, it ends up being, like, really disappointing. You know, that's usually the formula. And, like, the whole Shane McMahon thing, like, I get it that when he came out, he got this monstrous ovation, and that was really cool, and it was stunning, and, you know, there really aren't a lot of good surprises anymore. So the fact that they pulled that over us was great. It was all fantastic until Vince McMahon informs us that we have to watch Shane McMahon, who was never a great wrestler, okay? All he did, and I give him credit, was he would take big bumps. That's all he did. He was never a great wrestler, and I'm not putting him down because he's not a wrestler. I'm not saying he's got to be Kurt Angle. But, you know, falling through glass against Kurt Angle or falling from the top of the, you know, the Titantron or God knows what else he did, or his street fight with Vince where he does that one move, and that was very cool, that doesn't make you a really good wrestler. And the fact that you're going to stick him in the ring with a guy who, while he's in great shape, he really is, he's in great shape, but he's almost a senior citizen. And they think that's a good match because they put a stipulation of this guy controls Raw. I think it's awful. I thought they could have done something really cool with it. Like, I thought Shane was going to get, you know, somebody to wrestle for him, you know, whether it was a magically recovered John Cena or Sting or something. I don't even know what – or Bill Goldberg, for crying out loud. I don't know what it would be. But for it to be Shane McMahon against The Undertaker, the only reason I'm most looking forward to that match is because I want to see how they actually do it. Like, are they going to have – like, Undertaker just beat him and that's it? Are they going to have some weird shenanigans a la last year with Triple H and Sting? So I'm intrigued because of the train wreck factor. But it's a terrible idea. They take this guy who's had this unbelievable WrestleMania streak. He's got one loss ever, and they're going to stick him against Shane McMahon, who's not a wrestler. So it's just typical of what they do. They settle for what they think works, even though it really doesn't.
Exactly. And if Shane doesn't take a bump off the scoreboard at the 50-yard line, then I will be disappointed. That's the standard he sets for himself. So.
That's true. That's the only way the match will be half decent, if he does something crazy like that.
Yeah, that's about the only way it could save. And again, yeah, they booked themselves into a corner. Undertaker's last match if he loses, even though theoretically Shane would be in charge and could restore him to being around. But again, you start poking at the plot holes with this Swiss cheese setup, and you'll be here all day. It's one of those things you mentioned about Sting, and the main reason that we're not going to see him on this card, of course, the way that things went awry in his match against Rollins back in the fall here, for what this is worth. There was a Twitter Q&A session. I follow Sid on Twitter, and I just happened to see this. And I asked the question. I said, that buckle bomb, because this was right after Sting got hurt. I said, that looks dangerous. What do you think? You know what Sid said? He said, I wouldn't take it. That's kind of interesting. You know, these guys are coming up with these indie-rific moves that look sensational. We've never seen them before. But I kind of think sometimes maybe there's a reason we haven't seen them before, because it's not like there's a testing and development area out there where we can see if these things are safe or not. What do you think of Rollins' buckle bomb? Because I kind of wondered about it before Sting got hurt.
Yeah, I think that what we have to remember nowadays more than ever before is that these guys are wrestling like every day. Like, we don't even see them half the time when they're wrestling. So yep. There are all these added risks. And I think they always try, because think about it, wrestling's been around forever. We've seen all these moves, right? We've seen a suplex and all this crap. And they always try new things. And at a time, like, it's tough to impress us anymore. It's tough to get one of those reactions that from the crowd. So it's kind of this weird thing where you want to do something new and original, but you also don't want to get killed. And I thought that whole Sting Seth Rollins thing was odd. Like, I like Sting, and I'm glad they brought him back, but the guy wrestles one match, loses, and now he's fighting for the title, and the authority is the one that gave him the shot, and the authority was his rival? Like, that doesn't matter. I know this isn't real, and we're supposed to be in fantasy land, but that thing never made sense to begin with. What made sense about that?
Well, internal logic is not supposed to be dirty words when we look at this stuff, so you're absolutely right. We're supposed to be able to follow this. Some other things that may stand out on a show that looks like it is ripe to be stolen by somebody. This show is, of course, supposed to be a big, huge part of the New Day turn to go from merchandising giants as they've been as heels thus far to presumably even bigger merchandise as faces, hopefully not falling into the same traps they fell into in their original face incarnation. So your thoughts on New Day v. League of Nations as a showcase match for these guys and what is supposed to be a continuing ascent?
Well, I think that there's always a danger when you have a really, really, really popular heel, which is what New Day was or still is technically. I mean, depends on the day of the week, I guess. And you try to take advantage of the merchandise situation by making them faces, because I can't tell you, and we've seen it so many times, where a cool heel becomes a lame face. Like John Cena, that's the way he started. Cool, even The Rock to a degree, especially now. He's a lame face whenever he comes back. The same crap, and he has goosebumps. It's watered down completely. So they run that risk with New Day because they're very entertaining and they're very funny. But if you make them complete faces, especially in this PG environment that we live in with the WWE, it could really be a train wreck. Not the train wreck that they were initially, even though it wasn't by design, because I guess Vince McMahon thought they would get over as these motivational faces. So it runs a risk. I wouldn't touch it. I would keep them as the cool heels. And I don't know. It's a very unappealing – I think the tag division's actually been pretty good over the years. I really do. Like, they've actually built some really good tag teams, and there's been some really good rivals. Like, remember the Usos and the Wyatt family? Like, that was a really compelling tag. Like, I think the tag team division's actually been pretty good for a number of years now, and this is a really kind of crappy tag team title match, considering how good the division's been for a while. I mean, who cares about the League of Nations? The League of Nations, I thought, was put together simply because they put the belt on Sheamus and tried to, like, make him strong. It's just, it's not that appealing. And so that could hurt New Day as well, because they're not facing a tag team anybody really cares about.
Well, exactly. And I desperately wanted to see them, and it looks like we won't see it if they're turning face. I wanted to see them against Enzo and Cass. Wouldn't that be the most entertaining thing in the world? New
that
Day
would be.
Clashing
would
with
be.
Those guys. That would be awesome.
But here's the good news. This writing group turns people from faces to heels so quickly, maybe the New Day will turn three more times by the time we get that match. You never know.
Yeah, I still want to see it. I definitely want to see it. And somebody that I'm a huge fan of, you talk about The Rock back in the day, somebody who I think has the ability on a smaller level, absolutely, actually, because, again, there's only one Rock. The Rock will never quite be duplicated again. But Sasha Banks, you look at the star power that she brings in what is going to be this triple threat match here, which I have to believe is probably the showcase for her to go on top. Somebody who people chant spontaneously for when she's not on a show, which is like unheard of for a woman wrestler. Somebody who, just in my estimation, again, got to stay healthy, whatever, but I mean, at age, what, 23, 24, I think could be on track to be the greatest of all time. And this has the chance to be a launch for her in a match that she says they're going to steal the show at. She may have Snoop Dogg playing her to the ring, her cousin. What are your thoughts on that with the women's match, which I, for the first time maybe in the history of WrestleMania, is highly anticipated?
It's amazing how over she is. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen, and I know, like, women's wrestling for the WWE has certainly changed. I mean, about 10 years ago, well, more than that, 15 years ago, it was simply a chauvinistic, let's see boobs, or as Jerry Lowe, what would Jerry Lowe, kitties, the puppies, there you go. It's been so long, I forget how Jerry Lawler was such a pervert on TV. Puppies! That's what women's wrestling used to be. I've shown that to my wife because my wife is kind enough to actually watch wrestling with me. And we watch Total Divas. Like, it's a really good show. By the way, Sasha Banks should be on Total Divas so we get to know her better. I mean, we're all sick of Natty. I mean, how much of Natty and what's her name, the redhead? What's the redhead's name again?
Eva Marie.
Yeah, we can't stand Eva Marie. We're sick of seeing Eva Marie.
Right.
But Sasha Banks is like the most legitimately over woman I've ever seen in pro wrestling. Like, because I say legitimate because with Sable over, I mean, come on. Well, it was oogling. That's all it was. Sasha Banks is over because she's a really good wrestler, okay?
Yeah.
She's got some personality in the ring. She's got that look in the ring which makes you care about what's happening, you know?
Right.
Which
she's
is very, very impressive. She's captivating.
Yes.
She's captivating. So I don't know what the ceiling is. Like, it's an interesting question to think, okay, what's her ceiling? Because it's the Divas. Like, are they really going to push the Divas to where maybe there's a pay-per-view someday where Sasha Banks is main eventing? I don't know if that's ever going to happen with the WWE. But what we can tell you, and what you know and what I know and everyone knows, is she's got a chance because people love her. People are captivated by her. And if they give the Divas time, because that's the real key, are they going to give them 5 minutes? Are they going to let them fight for 20 minutes? Like, are they going to give them time to put on a good show and tell a story? If they do that and they do give them time, you're right. Like, that has a chance to almost be a show stealer, and it better be her coronation. I mean, there better not be the option of Charlotte retaining or anything like that. Like, she should have her coronation be at WrestleMania winning the Divas title, but you never know.
That's right. They may decide to draw it out a little bit longer. And again, we got Bayley coming up at some point here too. So the recreation of that great rivalry on the main roster, Bayley, who, like New Day, can be an absolute merchandising monster. I mean, the talent that they should have in front of them in the years to come. Again, I'll be very disappointed if we're sitting here talking about WrestleMania 33, 34, or any of the other ones this way. But 32, yeah, like you said, it could have some train wreck, aspects to it here. Could have some hopefully show-stealing aspects. AJ Styles and Chris Jericho, I just saw them at the most recent pay-per-view personally, Fastlane. Hopefully they can replicate that, have another good match. It will be very interesting to see. But always great to break this down with you, Evan Roberts, whether it be talking Final Four, whether it be talking WrestleMania 32 week. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on. I look forward to chatting with you again.
Anytime, my friend. Have a good one.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. the great Evan Roberts, everybody, from WFAN in New York, and thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.